1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The mixture of dangerous high temperatures and humidity is rolling toward the northeast now after affecting more than 52 million people from Indianapolis to the nation's capital today.
The unofficial end to summer is almost here, but you wouldn't guess it across the northeast.
I'm sweating. I'm sweating so bad. I can't keep cool at all.
High temperatures in the nation's capital reached 101 degrees today. That's 15 degrees hotter than average.
If you're not used to being out in the hot weather, your body's not going to handle that very well.
In New Jersey, Little Silver EMS Captain Ed Christensen says he is ready to respond to heat-related emergency calls.
CBS News correspondent Lila Luciano. The Supreme Court has refused to allow President Biden's student debt relief program to operate while it's battling lawsuits from Republican-led states. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
All that is happening here is that a hold on President Biden's loan repayment will remain in place until the Eighth Circuit Federal Appeals Court renders its final ruling on whether Biden had the constitutional authority to alter how these student loans are to be repaid.
Two European men have been charged in a massive swatting plot. CBS's Jim Krasula explains.
Federal prosecutors have charged a 21-year-old man from Serbia and a 26-year-old man from Romania. They are accused of targeting at least 100 people in the U.S. with swatting calls to get police to respond to fake emergencies at the victims' homes. An unidentified former president and members of Congress were among those targeted.
There is a verdict in the murder trial of former Las Vegas area politician Robert Tellis, charged in the stabbing death of Las Vegas Review-Journal reporter Jeff German.
Murder with use of a deadly weapon, victim 60 years of age or older, guilty of first-degree murder with use of a deadly weapon.
German had written stories critical of Tellis, who has now been sentenced to 20 years to life behind bars. The CDC reports at least 9 people have died after being infected with listeria from Boar's Head deli meats tied to a massive recall last month. CBS's Alexander Tin tells us inspectors flagged dozens of issues in the months leading up to the deadly outbreak.
Authorities have faulted the company over dozens of shortcomings discovered at the site. Those include mold and mildew, bugs like gnats and ants, and a buildup of leftover meat in some parts of the plant that left what inspectors described as a rancid smell.
Workers have breached the final dams on the Klamath River near the California-Oregon border so salmon can swim freely through a major watershed for the first time in more than a century, just in time for the fall spawning season of Chinook, or king salmon. It's the biggest dam removal in U.S. history. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to revive President Joe Biden's latest student debt relief program. Under the plan, borrowers could pay back 5% of their income instead of 10%. Lawsuits were filed after the plan was announced. The Supreme Court says some of those suits must be resolved in lower courts. And 15% of students in Wisconsin public schools get special education services, but school districts only get funding for 30% of expenses for their kids with disabilities. Teachers and administrators have long called this unfair. Deputy State School Superintendent Thomas McCarthy.
Reimbursing schools 30 cents on the dollar for an operation they're required to do is impactful in more ways than just serving kids with disabilities. In most districts, what they're doing is they're taking money out of their general budget and they're plowing it into special education budgets.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose in a battle of home runs. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee hit 2 home runs, but the San Francisco Giants hit 3 of their own to win 5-4 on Tuesday night, including the go-ahead shot by Mike Yastrzemski. Manager Pat Murphy says it was a hot night at AmFam Field.
I think guys were a little warm and sweating profusely, but I think both teams did a nice job. I thought it was a fairly well-played game, and I thought I love the way we competed.
Milwaukee was leading the NL Central by 12 games a week ago, but after losing four of the last six, the Brewers' lead is down to 9 in front of the Chicago Cubs. The second of 3 games in the series against the Giants is tonight in Milwaukee. The Packers trimmed their roster down to 53 players on Tuesday. Green Bay placed running back A.J. Dillon on injured reserve in one of the moves. The Packers also kept kicker Greg Joseph over Anders Carlson, a 6th-round draft pick last year. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some scattered clouds across the area in the overnight. Lows dropping back into the middle 50s. We'll have light east winds. A mix of clouds and sunshine Thursday. Highs in the upper 70s, close to 80 degrees. A southeast breeze. Thursday night, showers and storms with heavy rain. Currently 62 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogie, and director Sean Hannish joins the show to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the second hour of our program. Does Jack Smith believe that the Supreme Court immunity decision does not pose a major impediment to prosecuting Trump? Apparently he does. Apparently he thinks he can get around this. Because what he did yesterday afternoon, day after tomorrow, by the way, Friday, is the day that Judge Tanya Chutkan has requested that both Jack Smith and Trump's lawyers submit their, you know, kind of final briefs about how they're going to deal with the Supreme Court's decision that if you're president, you can commit crimes and get away with them as long as they are, quote, official acts, which is just bizarre to begin with. It's obviously something that it is completely opposite of what was discussed at the Constitutional Convention. It's the opposite of what you find in the Federalist Papers. It's the opposite of what the founders had in mind. They wanted the president to be a citizen. In fact, they were very careful to make sure that the commander-in-chief was not a member of the military. He's a civilian. He's the civilian with oversight over the military. So anyway, Jack Smith had originally indicted Trump for 4 charges, and those 4 charges still stand. But he rewrote the indictment. And he didn't just rewrite the indictment. He went back. He got a whole brand new grand jury. And what's amazing to me is nobody knew this was going on, right? This guy impaneled a grand jury, brought evidence before that grand jury, brought witnesses before that grand jury. That grand jury met in secret. They voted unanimously to indict Donald Trump again for these same 4 crimes, only this time they excluded a couple of things that Trump had done in the first indictment that had to do with his interactions with his staff or his interactions with the Department of Justice, because those could be considered official acts. But what they did is they basically restarted the whole thing. They in the very beginning of this, the first sentences of this new indictment, it says Donald Trump was a candidate for office. He was acting not as president, an official act, but was acting as a candidate in 2020 when he did these things, and early 2021 when he led January 6th. He was acting as a candidate for office, not in his official capacity, and therefore he enjoys no immunity. And then they lay out those things as a candidate that he did. And they also include his conversations with Mike Pence, pointing out that, number one, Mike Pence was elected separately from Donald Trump. We think that the vice president and president are elected at the same time, right, because they're a combined ticket. But in fact, when you get your ballot, you will have a checkmark for president and you will have a checkmark for vice president. They are elected separately. So number one, Mike Pence himself was running for re-election. He was also a candidate. And number two, Mike Pence, in his role of counting the ballots and verifying the election, essentially, certifying the election, he was acting in his role as president of the Senate. Now, Article 1 defines the House and the Senate. And the Article 1 says that the vice president shall be the president of the United States Senate. Article 2 defines the president and the presidency. And Article 2 is pretty silent on those that role, or any role, frankly, for the vice president. Article 3, of course, is the courts. And that's it. That's our Constitution. I mean, there's other articles, of course, but those are the three branches of government. So what Jack Smith is saying is that even Trump's interactions with Pence, even though it was president to vice president, were not actually president to vice president. They were candidate Trump begging president of the Senate Pence to refuse some ballots and accept other ballots. I think this is fascinating. The four charges that Donald Trump has been charged with are conspiracy to defraud the United States. In other words, steal an election. Right? Your votes don't count. Number two, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. In other words, the January 6th attempt to shut down the counting of the Electoral College vote. Number three, obstruction of and attempted obstruction of an official proceeding. So the second one was conspiracy. The third one was the actual act of January 6th. And number four, conspiracy against rights. And this is that you and I have a right to vote. Now, this one, the Supreme Court might disagree with. But Jack Smith is asserting, under federal law, the 1993 National Voter Rights Act, you and I have, as citizens, have a right to have our votes counted. In the Constitution, with the amendments, it now says that if you are female, you have a right to vote. In the 13th Amendment, 13th or 14th Amendment, it says if you are black, you have a right to vote. Or maybe it's the 15th Amendment. I'd go back and look. The post-Civil War amends. So at least women and African Americans have an explicit right to vote in the Constitution. So, number four, charge number four, conspiracy against rights, 18 U.S.C. 241. So he got a new grand jury. These are the same charges as before. Trump is saying, hey, you can't bring cases before an election, right before an election. Well, actually, we're not within 60 days of the election, number one. We are 69 days, I think, right now. Sean's been keeping track of it. Is it on the one sheet? Yeah, it's on the one sheet. 69 days to election day today. And so we're not 60 days out, number one. Number two, that's not a law. That's simply a policy within the Department of Justice. And it's a policy that in 2016 got violated by Jim Comey when 2 weeks before the election, he comes out and holds a press conference and says, we're looking into Hillary Clinton's emails again, which shaved 3 points off her popularity. So Trump's complaints, and he is just whining up a storm. He posted repeatedly on Truth Social overnight. I'm just not fair. This is manipulated. It was rigged. Mark Zuckerberg. One of his complaints is that Mark Zuckerberg was asked not to publish stories about Hunter Biden's laptop. Well, that was the Trump administration that asked Mark Zuckerberg not to publish those stories. It was the Trump Department of Justice. Yeah, as Kamala Harris would say, I'll ask it again, Mr. Trump. Can you tell me who was president in 2020? He makes clear that the co-conspirators who are being indicted along with Donald Trump were, well, actually, I'm not sure if they're indicted or not. I think that this indictment may just be for Trump, but they were labeled as co-conspirators, that they were acting in their private capacity. There were a couple originally, at least one in particular, who was removed from this indictment. That was Jeffrey Clark, because he was actually working for the Department of Justice at the time. So he's no longer included as a co-conspirator here, because that could have been considered an official act. But this is going after, they said the only people that they claimed were co-conspirators were those people who were attorneys or political consultants who helped Trump prepare his election interference and fraud. And those people who told in his campaign. Now, originally they had, in the indictment, they had a bunch of people in the Department of Justice and the vice president telling him that he hadn't won the election, that he lost fair and square, 7 million votes. They replaced that with his campaign aides who told him that he lost the election, which is in some ways even more dramatic. I think this is going to work. Now, how is this going to play out? The way it's going to play out is fairly straightforward. They're going to go before Judge Chutkan on Friday. There's going to be Trump is going to appeal the entire thing. Judge Chutkan is going to have to make a determination in the next couple of weeks or months about which parts of Jack Smith's indictment, this is a fifth grand jury to indict Donald Trump, by the way. This new grand jury indictment, which parts of it will withstand scrutiny based on this Supreme Court decision that presidents get to commit crimes if they want under certain circumstances. Then that will be appealed by Trump to the appeals court. And whatever the appeals court rules, that will be appealed either by Trump or by Jack Smith to the Supreme Court. And then the Supreme Court will make a decision. And all this is going to happen next year. None of this is going to happen before the election. The one thing that's possible before the election is that Judge Chutkan, maybe on Friday, will set up in the next couple of weeks a sort of little mini trial where she says, okay, Jack Smith, present your proof that this doesn't violate the Supreme Court order or ruling. And in the context of doing that, Smith will be able to lay out some of the proof of the crimes that he's asserting Trump committed to get that in the public discussion. But, you know, that could have, quote, affect an election. I don't know. We'll see. And is that within 60 days? And will the DOJ allow him to do that? What is Merrick Garland going to say about this? Because he runs the DOJ. And he seems to be quite a stickler for the rules. All of these things are up in the air right now. But the bottom line is, it looks like Jack Smith is really committed to nailing Trump's ass to the wall, number one. Number two, of course, you know, he's also rebutted and basically just slapped down Judge Aileen Cannon's dismissal of his charges against Trump down in Florida for stealing classified data,
documents. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So Jack Smith ain't going away any day soon. No, he definitely is not going away. Get back. Healthy cholesterol levels are important to your heart health, metabolism, and your blood sugar levels. You exercise and watch what you eat, but then get frustrated when you don't see results? Your secret weapon for heart health is Superbearing Advanced Cholesterol Support. Superbearing is a plant-based supplement from nature. Both Louise and I take it because it works. Superbearing is super convenient with just one easy-to-swallow capsule a day, and it helps you do more to support healthy cholesterol levels, metabolic health, and your blood sugar levels. Superbearing's unique berberine is the only berberine shown to support healthy cholesterol levels nearly three times more effectively than diet and exercise alone. Plus, clinically studied berberine is shown to have nearly 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. Give your cholesterol health advanced support with a free month supply of Superbearing plus 15% off. Just go to superbearing.com and enter the promo code Tom. That's Superbearing, BERINE.com, code Tom, THOM.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes, inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers kick off the season against Western Michigan. Our coverage begins at 6 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A recent survey found that in the last year, 25% of Americans used Buy Now Pay Later services like Afterpay or Klarna or Zip. We spend more with Buy Now Pay Later because, you know, six easy payments of $30 feels more affordable than $180 all at once for that cowboy hat or those leggings or that Yeti cooler. But when paying the full price for something feels uncomfortable, that is a clear sign for me that the purchase probably doesn't align with my financial goals. If Buy Now Pay Later is helping somebody replace a necessary thing, like an appliance or something like that, that's a sign that their emergency fund plan needs some attention so they don't have to finance those situations. Buy Now Pay Later encourages us to develop money behaviors that aren't that helpful for our long-term financial security. For more money tips, check out Work Buddy Media on YouTube. Take good care.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. Exactly. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's
house.
A whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump in Las Vegas might get Swift boated. All right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
Welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour. The Lincoln Project is out with a new video, and you're ready to run this through the board, right, Sean? Okay. They're out with a new video that is really hard-hitting. And for those of you listening on the radio who can't see this, it's a middle-aged man driving his car down the freeway with his what looks like teenage daughter sitting next to him. And he gets pulled over by a police officer who's got a kind of a southern accent. And so when you're listening, you'll be able to tell, who's the police officer. He's the one asking the questions. And, you know, who's the father and who's the daughter. It should be fairly obvious with that kind of setup. So those are the actors here. Listen and watch to this. This is amazing.
Driver's license, registration.
There you go, sir. How's your day going?
That's your daughter?
Sure is.
Abigail, right?
How do you know
her? Were you about 8 weeks pregnant? So you've been spotting recently.
This is the police officer.
You've had any cramps or nausea?
That's personal.
You've been taking your prenatal vitamins?
Excuse me?
Are you ticketing me for something?
Where are you heading, Abigail?
To go see my older sister, Natalie.
Well, that's strange. This says Ian and Natalie's at a concert in Dallas. And your navigation is set to a women's health clinic in one of those abortion states.
We have the right to travel.
Not anymore. Step out of the car.
Please, officer.
Both of you out now. You, sir, are under arrest for crossing state lines to obtain an abortion for a minor under your care. And you, young lady, well, you're under arrest for evading motherhood.
There you go. And this is, and then it ends with, you know, just this thing on the screen basically saying this is the world that Donald Trump wants to bring you. And wow, that is one powerful, powerful ad. And, you know, we're seeing huge numbers of people signing up to get registered to vote. I'm going to get into a whole lot of detail on that an hour from now. Right now, this from the Cook Political Report just this morning, which is a nonpartisan, you know, they kind of, what would you call it, setting the odds for a race? You know, they're looking at all the polling out there and all the data and all the, you know, they take all these factors, all these things, factors into consideration and then say, you know, here's what we think. And they have changed North Carolina from leans Republican to toss-up. And right now, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are down in Georgia. And they're down near Savannah. Now, Savannah is a very blue city, but there's a huge rural area. You know, I lived a decade down in Georgia. We lived in the northern suburbs of Atlanta, but we got around the state quite a bit. And Savannah's just a beautiful, beautiful town. If you ever get there, go to the cemeteries. Their cemeteries are just amazing. I mean, historic, amazing. But anyway, they're down there campaigning right now. They're going into red territories. Walz and Harris, and I'm willing to bet they will be in North Carolina soon. This is, by the way, this is not this changing North Carolina from leans Republican to toss-up. It's not just the Cook Report. Sabato's crystal ball has also made the same change, several others as well. But it's not because Trump is gaining or Trump is losing. Trump has been holding steady at 45.7%. What is happening is that when Joe Biden was the candidate, Democrats in North Carolina were down 7 points. And now they are dead even. They have gained 7 points since Kamala Harris, since the convention. And we're just now starting to get, I mean, you know, this is just the first week after the convention. We're just starting to get the post-convention polling. I've been saying for a year now, even when Joe Biden was the nominee, I've been saying, I think this is going to be a blowout. You cannot underestimate the power of 100 million pissed off women. And they are out there, and they're out there in here all around. And, this is remarkable that we have this candidate who is doing this well. And, you know, she's not talking about race and she's not talking about gender, which is, I think, fascinating. I mean, you know, Barack Obama was campaigning as the first black president. Hillary Clinton campaigned as the first female president. Kamala Harris is campaigning as, I'm a Democrat and I'm going to fix America. And it's almost like we're past that stuff, or at least, you know, the rest of us. I realize the Republicans are still hysterical about, you know, she threw three-fifths of a person, or was her father, and, you know, all this bizarre. And a woman is president. Oh, we got money. We can't have that. You know, I get that. But I think the rest of us are past it.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
27 minutes past the hour. Back with your calls in just a moment. Sneaky alert! When you look at a dog food label and see wheat or rice, you might assume it's just a small part of the recipe, but it's not. A lot of popular dog foods use a trick called fractionation. For example, if you looked at a dog food label and saw wheat as the first ingredient, that might raise some red flags for you. Big dog food companies know this, so they split it up into different ingredients. So instead of a lot of wheat, which would push wheat to the top of the ingredient label, it gets listed as a little bit of wheat, a little wheat flour, a little wheat gluten. So it looks like wheat isn't the main ingredient, when in reality, your dog's food has enough wheat to bake a loaf of bread. And bread is not in your dog's natural diet. That's why I love Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's the premium freeze-dried raw dog food Dog Whisperer Caesar Milan relies on to feed his pack. The first four ingredients are premium turkey, beef, salmon, and duck. Blue and Chewy love it. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Krispies. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. All dogs are unique. A dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief with heat alerts sizzling. CBS's Tracy Wolf takes a look at a link between climate change and the heat wave.
Scientists say this heat is so abnormal, nearly 77 million people in 19 states will experience at least one day with conditions made five times more likely due to climate change.
The Supreme Court rebuffed the Biden administration's latest attempt to unblock its latest effort on easing student debt as legal challenges continue.
The nation's highest court, in an unsigned order, has rejected a request from the administration to put most of it back into effect. It was blocked by the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals.
That's CBS's Allison Keyes. Former Las Vegas official Robert Tellis was found guilty in the stabbing death of reporter Jeff German, as CBS's Carter Evans tells us.
Tellis was unable to explain pieces of a disguise found on his property or his DNA on the victim.
How in the world does your DNA get underneath District Airman's fingernails?
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to revive President Joe Biden's latest student debt relief program. Under the plan, borrowers could pay back 5% of their income instead of 10. Lawsuits were filed after the plan was announced. The Supreme Court says some of those suits must be resolved in lower courts. And 15% of students in Wisconsin public schools get special education services, but school districts only get funding for 30% of expenses for their kids with disabilities. Teachers and administrators have long called this unfair. Deputy State School Superintendent Thomas McCarthy.
Reimbursing schools 30 cents on the dollar for an operation they're required to do is impactful in more ways than just serving kids with disabilities. In most districts, what they're doing is they're taking money out of their general budget and they're plowing it into special education budgets.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Sometimes the network can't afford not to bring a show back, such is the case with Ted Lasso on Apple TV. That's right, Lasso fans, the show that helped us all get through COVID might be coming back for another season. Series co-creator Bill Lawrence said in a recent interview that several of the cast members have agreed to return, but there is no word yet on whether or not Jason Sudeikis will come back as the title character. Sudeikis is one of the show's creators as well. Deadline.com reports that they believe Sudeikis is already in, which would only leave one non-committal cast member, Juno Temple. Stay tuned. Disgraced actor Armie Hammer says he is selling his truck because he can no longer afford the gas. Hammer says he loves the truck he treated himself to in 2017 intensely. In an awkward Instagram video Hammer posted, it was hard to decipher if he was talking to his truck or the audience at times as he described his love for his vehicle. He added that his kids will miss the truck, but they are adaptable. I wonder if they've heard the cannibalism accusations. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some scattered clouds across the area in the overnight. Lows dropping back into the middle 50s. We'll have light east winds. A mix of clouds and sunshine Thursday. Highs in the upper 70s, close to 80 degrees. A southeast breeze. Thursday night, showers and storms with heavy rain. Currently 62 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she has a company called Goop. You remember that project she sold? She found a way to bottle her the scent of her privates.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That's a little pretentious. That's the last thing I would want to inflict on the population. Hey, everybody. Here's Pete's crotch. Line up. You can get it fresh here at the farmer's market, or you can buy it in aisle 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview Donald Trump being in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and much more. We'll discuss it. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Show, what's on your mind today?
I'm well. How are you, Thomas?
I am great, but I'll get better, Rachel. I hope the same is true for you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My son's Thomas, so I know you like Tom, so sorry for that.
Either one is fine. What's on your mind, Rachel?
Well, I'm calling because your discussion about Trump's ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have cable, so I just listen to podcasts and videos and all on YouTube. And sometime in the 2 weeks before the incident, I was listening to something, and it might have been someone on MSNBC, but they were talking, and I don't remember, you know, I'd have to go searching in my YouTube past, but it was some program talking about airing video from another podcast about two people talking, the right-wingers, could have been Bannon and someone else, but maybe not Bannon.
He's in prison right
probably
now.
Probably not, because, well, this is 2 months before. Oh, anyways, okay. I don't think it was Bannon. It was someone else. And they were talking about, my point is, they were talking about how it would be good if Trump was killed.
Oh, God. Don't go there, please, Rachel.
So that's what I heard.
Yeah,
and
no,
I keep thinking, you know, I keep thinking I should probably call the FBI or something, but
yeah, you should.
I don't know where the video is, so yeah. I'd have to go spending hours.
That's the kind of rhetoric that you know just should not exist. And
it's not rhetoric. I heard it like on MSNBC. I don't listen to any crackpot.
Okay, all right.
Things. So
is it your opinion that Trump actually got shot in the ear, or that the blood on his face was from one of the other people who got shot and it got splattered on him? That's my theory.
Yeah, I mean, I can buy into that. I'm not, you know, I don't think I've landed on anything at all. But, you know, I totally get what you're saying about the fact that he saw an opportunity and he used it.
Yeah, I think he had a piece of somebody else's flesh in his ear, too. There's a little piece of gunk, you know, sitting in his ear. You can see in the pictures. And I think that probably, you know, probably the bullet hit, or, you know, we know that several bullets hit other people near Trump. And he was turning away from the shooter at the time, and the blood's on the side of his face that was closest to the people who got shot, not to the shooter. Right. So this is all, and I realize it's starting to sound like a Kennedy assassination theory, but Rachel, thank you for the call. Will in Austin, Texas. Hey, Will, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I wanted to add to the conversation about the attempted assassination. Christopher Wray was early on was testifying before a House committee or maybe even Senate. He said it was shrapnel. I don't know anything about ballistics, but you know, it could be just a little.
He didn't say it was. He said he believed it was. At that point in time, they had not yet finished the investigation. He later came out and said, we believe it's a bullet. They've been, you know, putting caveats around all these things. And I think they have to, because there's no hospital report. He wasn't taken to the hospital. I think he wasn't taken to the hospital because they just wiped the blood off him, and then he put this silly bandage on his ear for a week to try to pretend that he'd been injured. But, you know, you can't do that very long. And his ear looks like there's not a single scar on it right now. There's all kinds of pictures of it all over the place. I think he got splattered by somebody else's blood, and he's trying to pretend it's his own.
I don't think anybody was close enough to do that. You know, the people that were hit by bullets and the one guy that died tragically, it was way behind him on another bleacher.
Right, but he had turned his face to the right, and all the blood's on the right side of his face.
Right, and when he fell down, if the cut was, and somebody has said, I've heard, you know, I wish somebody would just do an investigation and put this to rest.
Well, it's not going to go to rest because he never saw a doctor. He never went to the hospital. Ronnie Jackson came out and said, "Yeah, it blew a hole in his ear." There's no hole in his ear. You know, it's just weird. It's just weird. But we'll leave it at that. Will, thanks for the call. Robert in Gig Harbor, Washington. Hey, Robert, what's up?
Hello, Tom. How are you today?
Fine.
I'm doing very well, actually. I just wanted to apologize on behalf of my family to Dred Scott and everything that happened to him. Now, my mother's side of the family is responsible for Roger Brooke Tawney to be on the Supreme Court. My cousin Andy appointed him as an associate justice. And Andy, you might have a picture of my cousin Andy in your wallet if you have a $20 bill. And so he appointed Roger Brooke Tawney. Then my dad's side of the family bought Dred Scott. There's a guy named Peter Blow, and he moved from Alabama to St. Louis in 1830. He opened up a bakery with his wife. Now, they were not prepared, obviously, for these Midwestern winters, being from Alabama. So she died in 1831. He died in 1832. And Dr. John Emerson, my dad's side of the family, bought Dred Scott. He was a doctor. He got a job at Fort Snelling in Illinois and was there for a while, and he took Dred Scott with him. You know, the theory being, you know, Dred Scott, like, okay, I went to Illinois, which is a free state.
I thought it was Minnesota.
No, it's Fort Snelling is in Illinois. Huh. I read it. This is a People's History of the Supreme Court. I'm just remembering
I'll have to go look that up because I had said
Minnesota. Yeah, but anyway, I know that John Emerson was related to my family because apparently he was a whiner and a complainer. So that he didn't last long at Fort Snelling, and then he took Dred Scott back to
Missouri.
St. Louis with him, and then, you know, and Dred Scott's like, no, I was free because my foot touched free soil. It's like the Cuban, you know, wet foot, dry foot thing. Yeah. So,
well, and he also married a woman there when he was up north.
According to the book, Dred Scott never married after the Civil War. He lived for 15 years and was like a local celebrity, but it said he never married and never had any offspring.
That's weird.
So,
we're reading two different biographies then, because I was getting my information from the Wikipedia page last night, actually. But Robert, what's the point you're making? Other than that your family has a connection.
I'm just apologizing. I'm just making the connection. Okay. This is that's actually what happened to poor Dred Scott, and I just want to apologize on behalf of my family.
Okay, noted, Robert. Noted. Thank you very much. Ken in Long Beach, California. Ken, what's on your mind today?
Thank you. Hello, Tom.
Hey,
I'm a first-time caller. I really like your show.
Thank you.
And I have a theory. I don't think it was blood splatter on Trump's ear. That thing you saw in his ear was like a prop, just like you see. You've seen people get shot in the movies before.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to add to that. You just touch it or hit it or whatever, or they could remotely set them off.
Right.
Also, two things. 18 minutes before the speech started, people reported that kid climbing up there with a backpack. They saw him with a gun on the building.
Yeah.
How could that perimeter be? You know what I'm saying? And then another thing, that's one thing, and they did nothing about it.
No, actually, they tried to get to him, and they got to him after the shooting, apparently. And this was the local police. This was not the Secret Service.
Yes.
Yeah, the Secret Service sharpshooter shot him. Yeah, you're right.
Right, well, of course, yeah. Well, you know, just like they got rid of Oswald, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, later on, you know, Jack Ruby and all that
kind of
stuff.
I don't think that this is a conspiracy. I think this was
Well, let me put it this way. Okay, on the Secret Service, going to protect you. They are trained to cover you up. They're not going to let you stand up and pump your fist three times and say fight. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, it was a setup. There's going to be no investigation. There's going to be no investigation at all.
I get that.
Never.
Ken, I'm not willing to go that far. I'm willing to say I think it's possible, maybe even probable, that the blood on Trump didn't come from Trump, that it was splatter from one of the guys who got shot.
No, it didn't.
But
what about that plastic thing in his ear?
Yeah.
Those are the things that they put under your shirt. And you've seen people get shot in the movies.
Of course. I just can't go that far, Ken. But, you know, you're welcome to. Thanks a lot for the call. Chaz in Lakewood, Washington. Hey, Chaz, what's up?
Tom, I have a lot of respect for you. I just can't picture you, though, as an international furniture trafficker.
I beg your pardon?
Taking furniture to Canada?
Oh,
anyhow,
yes. That story. Yes.
Yeah. One of the ways I got respect for you is in Chicago. I mean, you probably mostly by yourself probably had to get up very early and then do an entire day. And then you still have to stay up to watch for the convention returns. And you probably had to do it by yourself. You're a legend, man.
Yeah. Well, those were long days, but it was quite the event. It was really
no doubt.
Yeah.
All right. To the topic at hand. Let's see. It's right. Oh, Dred Scott. I'm trying to figure out how desperate the Republican Party is that they're going to pull this on Kamala when her father wasn't black. Her father was Jamaican.
Right.
And
although he had African ancestry via Jamaica.
Right, and black and African American are interchangeable, but Jamaica. And for my final point is, if this was so crucial in their rationale, why did it stop Obama?
Right. Or when Harris was running for vice president, or for that matter, Ted Cruz, who was born in Canada to a Canadian citizen, back when he was running for president. Chaz, thanks for the call. 45 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here. I'll be back with you in just a second.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Helping you win the water cooler wars. I'll be right back with your calls.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finished their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform.
radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic. My book, Threshold, illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere. It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio, and tag your it. Do you get stressed because your monthly income just doesn't seem to cover the bills anymore? Well, you're not alone. Most Americans feel this way every day. Everything is still ridiculously expensive. We're all reaching for more and more credit cards to cover the basics like childcare, insurance, power, and food. It's tough. If you're feeling this way, you need to call American Financing. They're helping hardworking Americans just like you tap into their home's equity to pay off their high-interest debt and even create some additional savings to be ready for whatever life throws your way. Interest rates have dropped, and a company like American Financing that never charges any upfront or hidden fees is the perfect partner to help you get into a better financial position. Their salary-based mortgage consultants are saving homeowners over $800 a month on average. Waiting is not an option. Call today. You may delay two mortgage payments. 888-675-4090. That's 888-675-4090. AmericanFinancing.net/progress. NMLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. That's 888-675-4090.
From the sunrise on the eastern shore to the sunset where the oceans roar, America's beauty, vast and wide. From coast to coast, we share with pride.
52 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls here. Nikki in Chicago. Hey, Nikki, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to just address the caller who wanted us to have open borders. I'm about as far left as they go.
Or no, yeah, you're talking the first hour. Yeah.
I'm in Chicago, and I work with a refugee organization. I am all for open borders if we can control exactly how they come in, because Chicago's inundated with refugees. Five states or five cities got almost everybody.
Yeah.
We have a big country, and I don't know why it wasn't spread out more. There's cities and towns that are
It's because Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis are busing and flying people into big Democratic-run cities.
There has to be a better way.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's silly. This is a big country, and we've got so many cities and towns that are dying from lack of population. We could spread it out, and it would be so much more achievable.
Well, there's another variable.
You got in Portland.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
finish your thought, Nick, Chicago, Nikki, and then I'll share my comments.
I said what you got in Portland and what we got in Chicago is it's just not sustainable. It's we've run out of affordable housing. They're in the shelters because we don't have any apartments left.
Yeah, well, that's not because of immigration. That is in large part because after the recession of 2008, a lot of home building just stopped. The high interest rates have stopped home building. And most importantly, you've got literally millions, I think over 10 million homes now just in the last 15 years that have been taken out of the housing market and put into the rental market instead by speculators. But the point with regard to immigration, and there's really good research on this that has been done repeatedly going back 60, 70 years, is that when a nation starts absorbing people who are not of the culture or the language or the religion or the race of that nation, in other words, when others come into a nation, in excess of 2% per year, you start getting really radical pushback, violent pushback. But if you can keep it below 1% a year, and in the case of the United States, that would be about 3 million people a year. We're 340 million people, so that'd be 3.4 million people a year. If you can keep it below 1%, then there's lots and lots of evidence that societies can easily, comfortably, peacefully absorb 1% of, you know, non-culture people and not be disrupted. And what's happening in Chicago, for example, where you're probably getting more than 1%, probably more than 2%, is that, like I said, Greg Abbott has been taking every refugee that he can find down in Texas. He's running out. He's had to stop running the buses because the Biden-Harris administration has basically closed the border, and there's so few people coming across now illegally. But he was shipping them all up to Chicago, and that was pushing you above that 2 or 3%, and that's where you start getting that blowback. Am I making sense?
Yes, absolutely. We have an area of Chicago, the Northwest Side, Rogers Park, Albany Park. It's always been an area where if you wanted to get a start in Chicago, that was where you started from. It's saturated. Mm-hmm. So now everybody's down on the south side. All the resources are on the north side. It's just a tough, tough situation, but we're doing the best we can. So,
okay, well, keep it up, Nikki, and thanks for the call. Thanks for bringing up the topic.
Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. Alan in Springfield, Virginia. Excuse me. Hey, Alan, what's up?
Yes, sir. I'm talking about the shooting of Trump.
Yeah.
If you look at one of the first videos of the crowd from far away, from the back of the crowd, you can see the side of the stage, to the right of the stage, which would be to Trump's left. There's a forklift that's holding up a giant speaker. And when that bullet passed by Trump and scratched his ear on the way by because he turned his head, that bullet went on to hit a hydraulic hose in that forklift, and it burst the hydraulic hose, and the hydraulic fluid came squirting out about 15 feet out. And the forks came down, the speaker came down and hit the ground. That's where that bullet went to. The bullet barely touched
Trump. So do you think that red stuff on Trump's face was hydraulic fluid instead of blood? It was awful bright red.
No. It was blood from his ear. The bullet scratched his ear as it went by. And it
well, where's
blood.
The scar?
The ear has a lot of blood in it.
No, I get that. But where's the scar?
It barely scratched his ear. It healed so fast.
Yeah, I don't know. I have scratched my ear before, and I've never bled like that.
Tom, if you look at the video, the first video when Trump got shot, you could see where the bullet hit the forklift, and it burst the hose, and it fell down.
Well, I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing that a bullet went right by his head. I'm just wondering if the blood on his face came from somebody else being hit. Alan, I got to run.
It came from his ear. It scratched his ear.
Okay. In all probability, you're right. You know, I'll be right up front. You know, what I'm suggesting here is I have no evidence for it. But on the other hand, we didn't have no evidence that his ear actually got shot because he wouldn't go to the hospital. Alan, thanks for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Oops. Sneaky alert! When you look at a dog food label and see wheat or rice, you might assume it's just a small part of the recipe, but it's not. A lot of popular dog foods use a trick called fractionation. For example, if you looked at a dog food label and saw wheat as the first ingredient, that might raise some red flags for you. Big dog food companies know this, so they split it up into different ingredients. So instead of a lot of wheat, which would push wheat to the top of the ingredient label, it gets listed as a little bit of wheat, a little wheat flour, a little wheat gluten. So it looks like wheat isn't the main ingredient, when in reality, your dog's food has enough wheat to bake a loaf of bread. And bread is not in your dog's natural diet. That's why I love Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. It's the premium freeze-dried raw dog food Dog Whisperer Cesar Millan relies on to feed his pack. The first four ingredients are premium turkey, beef, salmon, and duck. Blue and Chewy love it. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Krispies. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 5.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll talk about Jack Smith's new superseding indictment against Donald Trump, and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joins us. He's now with Civic.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.